In Judaism, we know that every day starts with the night before. And this is why Shabbat starts Friday night, which is obviously very inconvenient. You know, first of all, because it's different every time now, very early, and in the summer it could be very late, and it's different every time, and it changes schedule. And, you know, God could have made like a more practical schedule. He probably didn't think it through very well. Well, guess what? He did. And there is a reason why night comes before the day. First of all, by the way, just FYI, it's in the Torah, in the very beginning of the five books of Moses. It says, Vehi erev, Vehi boker, and it was evening, and it was morning, day one. So first it was evening, then it was morning. But then there is a meaning behind it. Before each light, there's a darkness. Before each revelation, there is a concealment. You cannot have a day without a night before. You just can't. If day would be starting with the morning, like most of the world thinks of it, then what would happen? It would be day first and then concealment? No, no, no. We in Judaism believe that if there is a concealment in this world, it is only in order to bring the revelation which is going to be later on. If there's a darkness, darkness can be in this world only in order to bring light later. Otherwise, there's no justification for a night. Night can be only to have a day following it. That's why it's first night and then it's a day. So now we understand a very important concept in this world. We can be experiencing very dark moments. Every person ends up facing adversities sooner or later. Some bigger, some smaller. Some people have greater difficulties on their path, some smaller. But everybody faces some hardships. You can sit and think, maybe God doesn't like me. I'm doomed. Maybe there's no way out. Maybe I'm cursed. What is the answer? The answer is a concealment can come only in order to bring a light afterwards. This is the only reason why concealment is justified. This is the only reason why darkness is justified. And now it does not mean that I am advocating for darkness. It does not mean that I wish for anyone to have hardships. I pray to God every single day not to give me any challenges in my life. Actually, it's part of morning brachot, morning blessings that we recite every single day. I don't want to have any hardships for myself, and I don't want you to have any hardships either. But if we're already experiencing hardships, I believe that they can be only for the light that is following them. And this is why, if you step back, it's only in order to jump forward. If you sit down, it's only in order to jump up. And if we see a concealment in the trajectory of divine light, it is only to bring a greater revelation later on. And I will tell you about the previous Rebbe. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson was given a very difficult, almost impossible job. He became the leader of the world Jewry right at the time when the communists came to power in the USSR in 1920. And he was living first in town of Rostov, then he moved to Leningrad, and he was trying to battle this Soviet system, NKVD, and back then NKVD created a special department to fight Judaism, Yevsekce, the Jewish division of NKVD. And in 1927, he was imprisoned, and he spent a lot of time in jail, in Russian prison, and then he was sent to exile, and then because of the pressure from the West, he was released, but once they released him, they didn't want him to stay in the USSR. They kicked him out of the country, and he came to Riga, Latvia. He was there a short while, and afterwards he came to Poland, where he was ready till the war. You can imagine that the time that he spent in jail was absolute horror. I mean, he was tortured, he was beaten. He didn't know if he will live to see the next day. And once in Riga, he was asked by someone, how would he summarize his thoughts about his time in Russian jail? And this is what he said. He said, if someone would offer to sell me a single moment of additional suffering and give me together with it $1 billion, I would not take it. For $1 billion, I would not agree to have one moment in this Russian jail anymore. If someone would offer to purchase a single of my past suffering from me, he meant for $1 billion, I would also not give it to them. Why? Because the suffering that he went through was immense. God forbid for anyone to have a small portion of those sufferings. He doesn't want to have 1 minute of these sufferings anymore. That's for sure. But once you already had them, he was able to see how this was a concealment that brings future light. He saw how this was a step back in order to make a leap forward. He says, I don't want to give it away anymore. It's mine. I was able to eternalize it and utilize it for good. I don't want to give it away. So this explains the Jewish approach to pain and suffering. On one hand, we want to stay away from it as much as we can. On the other hand, once we already have it, we have to know, whenever we are going through a difficult time in our lives, it is only a night that is followed by a day. Whenever we are going through hardships, it is only in order to make something better for us. God is doing things only which are beneficial for us. We just have to realize it and utilize it. Because very often we are walking away from money on the table. We are walking away by taking the negative, but because we forget to look, we don't take the positive. You see, in order to take the positive, we have to be aware of it. In order to look for something, you have to believe that it's there. If I don't believe that it's there, I'm not even going to bother looking for it. And then I'll walk away without taking it with me. And I earned it. If I will believe it's there, I will be able to then utilize it. But the first thing is to believe. I had this experience so many times with my kids. My daughter gives me her dress to bring to dry cleaners. I brought it to dry cleaners. And then she wants to wear it for Shabbos. And she says, where's my dress? I didn't find it. I looked in every closet and it's not there. You probably forgot it in dry cleaners. I'm like, no. I brought it to dry cleaners and it's in this closet. She says, I looked in this closet. It's not there. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's there. Just look. She opens the closet. It's hanging there. Why? First time she was looking there just in case. She didn't know which closet it is in. She looked everywhere. When I told her, no, I know for a fact it's there. Now she's looking for it completely different. Now she knows it's there. Now it's a different search. It's a different form of looking. So if I am thinking, maybe there's something good in there, maybe not, then I'll open the closet door. I'll poke around. I won't see it. I'll close the door and I'll move to the next closet. But if I know it's there, I'll be looking for it. That's why it's very important to believe, to know that there is good in whatever God is doing for us. Now, I have to say, people sometimes go through terrific atrocities, terrible tragedies. And when I hear these people's stories, I would not dare look them straight in the face. You say, you will see, it's all for good. I don't know if I would be able to go through what people went through sometimes when I see people suffering tremendously. Actually, as a matter of fact, I very often know I would not be able to survive what they're surviving. Do you know what the proof is? If God would think that I can handle something, he'd probably give it to me. The very fact that I don't have these things probably shows that I cannot handle them. I'm not here to ever lecture a person saying that, whatever terrible things are happening to you, there's a good reason for it. There's something that's going to come out of it. Especially with what's going on with Israel now, those hostages that are being released. Just think what these people went through and think what these people witnessed. It's unthinkable. And think what the families of those who were murdered, who were kidnapped. Just imagine what these families are going through. You can't even begin to understand their pain. So it is very difficult for me or for anyone to say that this is how we should be telling others to look at things. I very often would not have an audacity to tell it to somebody straight in his face. But in our own lives, if we will at least try to take this approach, it very often could make our lives easier. And the more we will succeed in taking this approach, the more we can possibly improve our lives.